Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We start out Saturday strong. It's a Doc Talk podcast hosted by my good brother, mentor, and friend, Greg Roscoe, live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, out here in Los Angeles producing it, playing a little co-host, 347-205-9631. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, first of all, Greg, how are you this morning? And second of all, how can people get a hold of you?
Mark, thank you. I'm doing well. Everything is working just super. If people would like to get a hold of me, we can go with doctalk1@outlook.com. That's doctalk1@outlook.com. Facebook, Doc Talk on Facebook. That's the easiest and best way to get a hold of me, Mark. That would be a real joy to hear from our listeners.
Yes, sir. And boy, I'll tell you, practice number 4, swimmer's ear and summertime problems. We'll tease you on what practice number 5 will be next Saturday, and then we'll get into the debut on the first week of April there. So we're looking forward to April 9th when we'll debut the show. So blessed and to produce this great thing. And as we get into this, swimmer's ear, we touched on it last week. And if you want to lay the foundation for the listeners that are listening right now about the swimmer's ear, and then we'll get into summertime problems.
Love to. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, it's spring on the East Coast. You know, first day of spring is coming here. We think about, of course, swimming, kind of the next go-round. And one thing that I'd like to talk to our listeners about is some of the maladies of, you know, spring, allergy, infection, things like that. One of the most frequent problems that we see as we get into the swimming season is something called swimmer's ear. Swimmer's ear is an infection from being in the pool that causes an awful lot of pain, hearing loss, quite a bit of expense from a medication standpoint. Usually occurs early in the swimming cycle. You know, we get into the pools, maybe they have one or two situations. They've had a lot of chemistry and chemicals in the water, or they haven't been chemistried enough. So we have bacteria or a toxic reaction. We'll usually see it in our younger patients, our guys that are 4, 5, 6 years old, getting in the water, and then we see it at about 8 or 9 when our swimmers are more aggressive, they're going underwater. So, Mark, it's something that we want to prevent. We don't want our kiddos to get into this infectious cycle, because once they're infected, they've got to stay out of the pool, or at least stay out of, you know, water till this thing heals. So that was my big concern going into the summer. You know, I talked a little bit about spring maladies, and we think about the increase in pollen. That's tree pollen, grass pollen. The other thing that happens are mold spores. You know, here in western Pennsylvania, the weather is getting beautiful, 50s and 60s, but it's wet and it rains. It rained again yesterday. We get a lot of mold spore production in the air. And, of course, it can touch our skin as well as we breathe it in. So we can get a respiratory reaction or like a dermatitis reaction. So those are the things, Mark, I wanted to talk about today.
Great things that bring about. And, you know, now we're getting loaded. And, you know, Dale from Indianapolis, Indiana, chiming in. He said, sinuses are a big problem for me. Any ideas to solve that part of my life, Greg?
Sure. Yes. You know, we talk about sinus. You know, people use the word sinus problem. Well, we know that we have sinuses in our head. Sinuses are hollow chambers in our skull. We all have them. Typically, they're lined with like a rug called mucosa. The mucosa is secretory. It makes snot. So when someone has like an allergic sinus problem, they get stimulated with either pollens or molds or dog danders. And then what happens, we get swelling, inflammation in the lining of the nose and sinus, and we make mucus. So they may have a variety of symptoms, could be a little bit of pain, could be thick nasal drainage coming out the front, going down the back with nasal obstruction. They can't breathe. And that's usually what we talk about with sinuses, Mark. And what do we do about it? Well, you know, as always, we want to make the right diagnosis. Are we dealing with an allergic problem? Are we dealing with an infectious problem? Diagnose what that is. You know, usually we need our professionals to give us a hand looking at that lining, culturing the lining, seeing what bacteria. Some of the simple therapy, though, are nasal irrigations using salt water. I hope our listeners have heard of something called a neti pot. And a neti pot looks like a teapot. You put a warm saline solution in, and then you use that to rinse the mucus, the allergens, the irritants out of the nose. Most sinus problems can be resolved or at least controlled with mild saline irrigations. But again, you know, we're looking at a broad field of causes. So we do want to go to our, you know, sinus professionals for help.
Yes, and Denise from San Francisco, great show, Greg. Heard you in Philadelphia this past Thursday, and boy, that was unbelievable Thursday. Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB, AM 860. You were a part of it. Don Casey was a part of it. Sal, myself, and Marianne, all of us, five-way thing, man. It was a Fab Five there, if you ask me.
It was a great show. Thank you.
Yeah, Ann from Duluth, Minnesota. Mosquito bites are a huge summertime problem, guys. Seems to me these are a constant pain to me. And, boy, I'll tell you, I could chime in on this after you answer that question with that mosquito bites, because out here in Los Angeles, they have been a pain to me as well. So I'll let you answer hers, and then I'll throw 2 cents in on that.
Sure. You know, with regard to, you know, we look at the whole category of bites. And, you know, we talk about stinging insect bites. And that's a whole family of another disease. And we do have diagnostic information that we can use to help diagnosis as well as allow us to know what our level of sensitivities are. But mosquito bites typically are a little bit of an allergic reaction in our skin, but also it's a little bit of a toxic reaction. So you have a little bit of a combination, chemical as well as allergic. No easy solutions other than, of course, try to avoid getting bit. The repellents do work. You need to use them. You know, with our summertime maladies, swimming, we may want to have some of the repellents available, especially for our children, that we do that before they do jump into the water. So I would say prevention is the best way to go.
You know, a few years ago, I remember, and it was during the pandemic that year, 2020, I had gone to my brother's in August, and I came back, and my legs were just torn up with these things. And I know over the years for me, and, you know, I don't know how it is for Ann out there in Minnesota, but I will tell you, it just seems like the mosquitoes are getting worse and worse, and you know they're to the point where they're getting aggressive. And I know there was a thing out there a few years back. They were talking about some of these mosquitoes coming from foreign countries and coming into the United States, and really, I mean, it'd kill you, you know, to the point if it was a serious problem. And I lost a close friend to one of those things, hospitalized, and he ended up dying. So, I mean, I don't know if the breeding is getting to the point where these things are just coming into the country now, but it just seems like, you know, everything, Greg.
Yes.
You know, it would be
to
the point where, okay, you put some Calmine lotion on it, that was it. But now, I mean, you're getting torn up with welts of these things. Any advice on something like that?
Mark, what I can tell you is this. There are, you know, again, mosquitoes. We have, of course, American bred mosquitoes, and we do have the foreign variety. You know, as far as mosquitoes causing us that kind of an issue, it does depend on our patient's sensitivity to that type of a bite. We have to be careful, though. There may be other bites involved. It may not just be the mosquito. Could be other stinging insects involved that could cause someone to die. So that, you know, we have testing that we do. There is blood testing that can be done to check our levels of sensitivity for stinging insects. Based on that, we are able to do something called desensitization. In a sense, we have allergy shots to desensitize people that are extremely sensitive to these stings. So your professional can help with that, but there is a mode of therapy depending on the level of sensitivity, Mark. But it is an issue. You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's more of an environmental issue, but indeed we do have patients that are highly sensitive. But you've got to look at a whole picture. It may not just be a mosquito they got bit with.
Right. And, you know, I think part of the problem, and it's just my opinion on this, and you could throw yours on it too as well, Doc, but I think what ends up happening is with the environment, they don't spray these trees. These eggs hatch.
Correct.
They're sitting on leaves and everything. They fall to the ground. The warm weather comes, and they start, you know, breeding around the water, sometimes plants, sometimes the pool, if the pool's neglected and everything. And this is where
you're
get
right.
some serious problems. Am I on to something?
You're on to something. But again, Mark, you know, it's being preventative. We want to prevent
right.
the malady as opposed to have to deal with treatment. So if we're, you know, heads up on preventing these things, we'll better take care of our people and our environment. But I think you're absolutely right. I think it's an environmental situation that usually our local health departments are the ones, Mark, that handle that. They're the ones that have information on, you know, where the insects are coming from, the level of infestation. But those are the people that know. And then, again, they should be able to dispatch the local authorities to go ahead and take care of that problem.
Right. More summertime problems. And we got Bill from Spokane, Washington, chiming in. He said, ants are a problem to me when I'm doing a barbecue. Well, we know ants could be a problem, you know, and you got to watch out. Sometimes those red ants, you know,
yes.
could be a real problem. I know growing up and, you know, seeing those red ants, you know, in little, like, crevices and everything and kind of playing with them before
oh,
you
yeah.
know it, you get bit by one of those things and you don't think
sure.
twice.
Thank you. I think you're right. I think, again, it's a matter of trying to prevent this from happening around us, Mark. And, you know, it's garbage, food, debris, you know, in our barbecue areas, probably spraying properly to go ahead and handle insects or using a professional service if we know that we have an insect problem. I think it's all about prevention, Mark.
Yep. No, I can't agree with you more. Did you want to throw some other summertime problems, whether it's with the ear,
sure.
nose, and throat,
I would
that
like
people
to.
Should be well aware of?
Well, you know, the one again, we talked about sinus problems. What about a runny nose? What about a snotty nose? What about itchy, watery eyes? What about something more serious? An asthmatic reaction, a breathing problem. Those are the problems that we see with our pollen increases from the grasses, the trees. And again, people are not cutting grass. All right, that's not right now, but they're starting to do that. And they're really stirring up a lot of this. And those kind of problems definitely can come from the riding lawnmower or our push mower. We want to go ahead, and if we're sensitive to the grasses and, you know, the pollens, wear a mask. Cut your grass. Enjoy it, but wear a mask. Don't breathe that allergic material into your nose and your airway. Definitely that stimulates reactivity. You know, I have some people that will go ahead and use their broncho inhalers. They'll take their steroids or antihistamines, then go cut the grass. My recommendation is, okay, let's be prepared, but let's indeed prevent it. Put a mask on if you're going out there, you know, for an hour or two, or people have acres of grass to cut, which they love. Prevent the reaction without having to do a lot of medical management overall. The other, you know, situation, which again is very similar, is an allergic dermatitis. You know, itchy skin, same thing. You know, it's one of our allergic organs because we talked about IgE-mediated disease. And we've said that on the program, Mark, a couple of times, that overall we have this chemical in our body, and then we have potentially target organs that will react if stimulated. And those organs, again, just to review, can be our eyes, our nose, the throat, our airway and our lung. It can also be our skin. So those are the itchy, or they're the organs that can be stimulated. So that overall, we want to kind of prevent it. Let's prevent the summertime maladies. You know, you had mentioned calamine lotion. There are other lotions also, or sprays, if one's having allergic skin, that they can use before they go out and they get stimulated. You know, taking an antihistamine possibly before they go swimming may be of benefit. And, you know, I'm kind of into this prevention as opposed to treatment if we can prevent them from getting ill or having some downtime. Those are the things that, you know, I wanted to focus on. You know, the infectious route typically follows an allergic reaction. We know that approximately 90% of sinus infections come from allergies. So if we can go ahead, minimize our allergies, we're going to see less infections in our patients. And, you know, I use the word sinus, less sinus problems. Again, we want to do prevention. Does that help?
Wow. No, that definitely breaks it down. And looking to Matt from Oceanside, California, chiming in, talking about he gets bloody noses sometimes in the summertime.
Sure.
You know, what causes that? You know, and that comes, you know, sometimes if you're sleeping or something, you wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you wipe your nose and now you got blood coming out. So
yes,
that's a great question from Matt.
Yes, sir. You know, again, let's go back to some basics. The nose is a very vascular organ, meaning that we have a tremendous amount of blood flow in the nose, particularly in the center of the nose, called the septum, meaning that we have a lot of blood vessels. So if we start to see some areas that are bleeding, one of two things, either the nose is extremely dry or we're experiencing some trauma. You know, and again, I don't want to be gross, but, you know, we do have a group of nose pickers out there, and which can be very, very deleterious to this blood flow. And we have a lot of our patients also on anticoagulation. You know, a lot of people are on aspirin. They've been told to take a baby aspirin daily. Then, of course, we have the Xarelto's, et cetera, for atrial fibrillation. But a lot of our people are on anticoagulation. So if we get a situation where maybe they've done a little bit of nose picking, Maybe the environment in that bedroom is very, very dry. They bump the nose, Mark, they bleed. We see it, Mark, every day in our practice, every day. And again, we want to prevent it. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know,
and
if we
when
just
you,
go
when,
on to.
Right, right. No, I said, and what ends up happening is picking the nose is, you know, instead of blowing it, they start
very
picking
gradual.
It, and they start ripping sides of inside their nose, and that's what's causing the blood to flow, because now it was kind of stored and hardened, and this is what the problem, I would imagine.
Yes, you're right. You know, we have, you know, the anatomy, we have a lot of vascular supply, we have a little bit of trauma, you know, it's kind of a cause and effect. We have some trauma. And then, you know, what happens also, Mark, when maybe they've been picking a little bit, the nose starts to seep a little bit of blood, it gets crusty, it gets scabby, and then again, the patient can't breathe. So what do? They go in to try to blow real, real hard to free this crustiness, and they stimulate more bleeding. So, you know, as far as a therapy with this, you know, I always say that. We need to consult our professionals, but indeed, if someone has a dry nose, there are certain lubrications that we can use in the nose. We can humidify the air. We can go ahead, possibly cut down a little bit on their anticoagulation so they're not, their blood is not as thin. And, of course, we can ask them not to put their fingers in their nose as well.
Right, right. Okay, as we start to break these things up, any more things you can add? And then I want to give a preview of what we're going to be talking about next week. So as we're talking about these summertime problems.
And next week, do you want me to expand a little bit on that? I can do that as well.
Yes. Okay.
Next week, we'd like to talk about another symptom that does affect a lot of people. And the general category for that is vertigo, imbalance. Another word is dizziness, lightheadedness, people that have instability with their ambulation. I wanted to talk a little bit about those things and put some information out about how to handle it, how to diagnose it, and maybe there are a few remedies for us overall.
Man, that's going to be unbelievable. And, you know, chemical imbalance and as far as everything when you look at it, as you get older, these problems persist and we can see it. You know, we talk about the hearing loss. I know
yeah.
I have some friends that you'll talk to them and they don't hear you right away. And I'm saying to myself, wow, their hearing's going. And, you know,
yeah.
we've talked about that issue before. And some people lose it more so than others. It's just like eyesight, you know. Some people can,
yes.
you know, read the newspaper at 60, and some people can't. I mean, it's just unbelievable. What you notice more and more with what your profession is with
yes.
the ear, you know, as far as hearing losses, do you
sure.
see a perception of people losing it? And there's a unique status to this as they get – you know, into that realm of, you know, it's kind of like I almost look at it like, you know, insurance company. You know, everybody
right.
clarifies you and puts you in a category that if you're 25, you're going to go 100 miles an hour down the road. Now, there's exceptions to the rules. So I would imagine there's exceptions to the rules as far as losing your hearing. Some people, you know, don't fall into that, you know, majority of a hearing loss. What's your take on that?
Mark, you know, I think with hearing loss, I think if I can clarify it a little bit, there's two components to this. One is losing the ability to hear. The second component is losing the ability to understand the words. And, you know, we find that people don't understand what we're saying to them. They may be able to hear, but they don't understand. That's what we're seeing more of today, is that people really are identifying, I hear you, I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand
right.
the words. And that's a real problem. You know, again, solution-wise, we try to amplify them, you know, with hearing aids, with implants. Is a Baha implant or a cochlear implant, we're able to help. But, Mark, we still have problems technologically with getting people to understand words. The other thing that is happening, again, with hearing loss, Mark, is we're doing better at the diagnosis, that we're diagnosing hearing losses earlier in a patient's life, as well as throughout their life. People are coming in for testing. There are availability. There are funds available, Mark, if people do need hearing amplification. So they're willing to go to be diagnosed because they know maybe there's some help. And just one little plug here for the VA. The VA at this point is taking care of our vets with regard to hearing aids. They buy them hearing aids. They maintain the hearing aids. They give them new hearing aids every 5 years or so. And that, I think, has been a real boom to help these guys that really have helped us in the past. So I'd like to plug the VA on that. That's a beautiful benefit, and we always counsel our patients, if they're coming in and they're a vet, we'll be glad to help. Let's get you over to the VA. They're going to take care of the whole damn bill. So it's one of those things that I think the diagnostic aspect is helping. I think we have more help and awareness, Mark, with our insurance companies as well. You know, Medicare is starting to pay for hearing aids. So having said that, people are willing to come in. They know there's some help available.
You know, I want to talk about next week, vertigo and all that. I want to tease the listeners too. And boy, we got a heck of a run this morning with listeners, and I can't get to all of them. But I will tell you this: talking about, you know, pandemic, 2 years into this pandemic, how are the technologies working with all these hearing and stuff like that? And also, what have they done to, in the 2 years, more or less expand, you know, some of these things? So that'll be good to talk about next week, along with the imbalance and staggering effects of all vertigo.
Great. Should be a great show.
Yeah, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you if they have any questions, too. I mean, boy, I'm so blessed to produce this great show with you each and every Saturday, and when we debut it on April 9th, I could just see great things going in the horizon, man.
Well, thank you, Mark. And the patients can get a hold of me, listeners can get a hold of me at doctalk1@outlook.com or doctalk on Facebook. You know, we have a phone number they can call in as well if they want to call us at 814-375-0455.
Wow, I'll tell you, and breaking this thing down across the things, I think if you put everything from pen to paper in it, you'd have a bestseller across the boards, and I know we have one on Saturday mornings with you, and I'm so blessed.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for the listeners and our fans out there, Mark. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, as we wrap this thing up, and you heard it from the doc, we wrap up practice four, the swimmer's ear and summertime problems. Next week, practice five, we'll get into vertigo, the imbalance. We'll talk about what's going on with the technologies and the COVID pandemic things with the hearing and everything like that. Four, Greg Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, here in Los Angeles. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, whichever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. We want to thank all the listeners across the country for listening today. And meanwhile, we'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Have a blessed one, guys, and thanks for tuning in again.
Thank you.